Welcome back to the Iowa blog. I am your host, Craig Wynn. Of course, this handsome fellow to my left, your right, that is Wookie. And we're going to do part eight of my absolute favorite subject. It's not just that Dode is the man that I've come to respect the most of all who have ever tread on this planet previously. He is my king. He is the Messiah, the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is a profoundly important prophet. He is God's most capable and courageous man. He is even our Savior. But beyond all of that, and you know, that's a pretty good start to a darn good resume, Dode is also the subject of, I think, the most beautiful song ever written, certainly the most inspiring. And in this particular case, Dode was not the author of this song. No. The author of this song is Yahweh, the creator God of the universe. These are his lyrics. So I would encourage you to listen to the lyrics of this song as I continue to share them with you as, well, with a sense of appreciation, since God composed everything you're going to hear. Now, as we turn into the next statement of this song, this being the eighth part of this presentation of the 89th Mizmor, we find that Yahweh did exactly as we would expect. He stood up for the one who was willing to stand with him. Yahweh revealed, excuse me, and so I will pulverize and crush. I will defeat, I will beat down and shatter. I will break and then vanquish, throwing away and incarcerating under extremely unfavorable circumstances after thoroughly rebuking his foes, especially those who seek to constrain and restrict him. His adversaries who openly display their hostility and opposition, creating an unfavorable circumstance by diminishing his calling and purpose. Then, out of his presence, away from and on account of, even before his appearance, I will plague. I will afflict with a deadly pandemic disease, inflicting those who shun him by attempting to decrease his status, those who are openly hostile in their derision and who intensely dislike him, those who refuse to associate with him, failing to appreciate what his love represents, so they hate him. This is Mizmor lyrics to be sung, Psalm 89:23. And I have some bad news out there for not only those who would be Christians and think that somehow their Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the Messiah and Savior, when he's nothing but a myth, a crude counterfeit of Dode, and therefore they put themselves in the crosshairs of this particular statement. Or rabbinical Jews, those who are into Judaism, because Judaism foisted not only a false prophet on God's people, one who was so horrific he led to the last of the Roman invasions and caused the crucifixion and mass murder, torturous murder by the Romans, of hundreds of thousands of Jews and ultimately the diaspora. But beyond all of that, and that's a lot, when Yahweh speaks of Dode, recognizing that Dode was one of three Zoroah, whatever he says of him applies to others. Three Zoroahs, and you need to understand, as I have today, as I was translating a series of passages in the Torah, a book of Numbers in this case, quickly becoming my favorite. And as I was doing so, I read about how Yahweh defended Moshe when two people rose up and claimed that they also should be allowed to claim that they speak for God. Well, there's three, Zeruah. And for all three, Yahweh is going to have exactly the same response. Yes, Dod's his son. And so there's a special level of emotion. But Dod's not his only son. Moshe was a son. Abraham was a son. I am also God's son. Now, Dod, of course, is the firstborn son. So when people do what they have done with Christianity and with Judaism, and they have denied Dod's role and his accolades as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the returning King, it really irks the Almighty. He gets exceedingly angry. And because he's God, you don't want that to happen to you, because his response to those who irk him in this way, who have discounted the value of his son or his Zeruah, is to respond in an exceedingly hostile way to them. He's not playing games. You see, these three people in particular, and of course, Dod is the foremost of them, but these three people have such a tremendous responsibility as it relates to what God is trying to accomplish with his people. Moshe liberating them from the constraints and the horrible situation that they were in Mitzrayim, the crucibles of religious and political oppression, while sharing Yahweh's guidance through the Torah, leading the people back home. Dod, by being the exemplar of the covenant, by being the prophet who helped explain exactly what Yahweh was trying to accomplish, and then volunteered to fulfill Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. And then, of course, there is Yada, who is also responsible for an exodus, this time bringing God's people out of Babel, the confusion of intermixing religion and politics, of conspiracies and patriotism and the like, who is now responsible for explaining Yahweh's Torah to his people who have forgotten it in favor of their Talmud, for reintroducing Yahweh's name, not only to Yehudim, but to the world, and for reacquainting Yehudim with all that Dod has accomplished so they can not only benefit from it, but so that Yahweh can return on Yom Kippurim to a successful homecoming and family reunion. And so the third Zeruah plays an essential role in calling God's people home. And if you get in the way of what Yahweh is trying to accomplish with him, this is how Yahweh is going to respond. He's not fooling around. He wants you to know how serious this is to him. And so he says, I will pulverize and crush them. I will defeat them. Beat them down, shatter and break them, and vanquish them, throwing them away and incarcerating them. In fact, in this case, if you are working against any one of the three Zeruah, you put yourself in a much more vulnerable position than simply being excluded from the covenant, which means your soul at the end of your life dissipates into nothingness. You put yourself in jeopardy of being incarcerated. And that's an eternity in Sheol. And the people that he's speaking of are those who claim to speak on behalf of the Messiah and Son of God, but were not authorized by Yahweh to do so, and they misled many. He's speaking of incarcerating his foes, especially those who seek to constrain and restrict him This is Sari Hu. Sari Hu is an interesting term because Sar, T-S-A-R, is the Hebrew word for the time of Jacob's troubles. When Israel is constrained at the waist, when the likes of Donald Trump forces Israel to give up her heart to appease the Saudi Arabians so that he can win a Nobel Peace Prize for normalizing relationships, doing so by tearing Israel apart, making the country indefensible. The word for that is Sar. The word that sits in the middle of Mitzarim, the crucibles of human religious and political oppression, is Sar. So whether it was Moshe with the removal of the children of Israel from the Sar of Mitzrayim, or it's Yada's responsibility for removing today's Yehudim and the Israelites from the Sar of the time of Jacob's troubles, or it's the Sar associated with Dod, when he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and on Matzah took our guilt with him into Sheol so that we would no longer be troubled in that regard. And when you consider the nature of Christianity and Islam, and also of Judaism, these religions sought to restrict and constrain Dod so that he would not be perceived as the Messiah, our Savior, the returning King, the sacrificial Lamb of Pesach, and the Son of God. And today, there are those who are attempting to do it with the final Zoroah and restrict and restrain his outreach as he performs in this way for Yahweh and his people, coming into your homes, looking you right in the eye, sharing with you what you need to know to return to Yahweh, to participate in the covenant, to attend in an appropriate way and understand the Moed Mikre, to accept Yahweh by name. All of this is essential to God, and he does not take kindly when people get in the way of those that he has chosen to deploy. Then, out of his presence, he says, I will plague them. Whether that out of his presence is Yahweh speaking of out of his presence, which would be Sheol, which would be a really bad thing, or it's just that he is reminding us that he views all rivals to his people, all of those who would mislead, as a plague, as afflicted and deadly and diseased. Very much as what happened with Miriam, the embittered and contentious one, when Yahweh showed his righteous indignation against what she attempted to do by claiming that, well, there's more than one person that speaks for God. Surely Moses isn't alone. We also speak for him. Well, Yahweh didn't agree. Yahweh picks the people he wants to work with. He makes a big deal about those he picks. He tells us exactly who they are, why he's chosen to work with them, how he makes it possible to work with them. And he does not take kindly when anybody intervenes and gets in their way. Empirically, having dissected, compared, and analyzed much of what Shaul Paul said and wrote, I realized that the principal author of the Christian New Testament was not only replacing Dod with his mythological God-man, Jesus Christ, but was decreasing Dod's status to elevate his own. However, until I had invested the time to specifically scrutinize Paul's spoken and written assessment of Dod, the first in Acts, the second in Romans, in fact, probably the other way around, because Romans was actually written before Acts was, but that's not the way they're currently ordered. I really had no idea just how irrational and pathetic his attempts had been. And in this case, this is interesting because I'm the only person in human history to expose and condemn Paul in the Christian New Testament by, comparing what he said to what the Almighty God, Yahweh, said. Now, as a result, I came to understand the basement of what I call replacement foolology. Paul's irrational and counterproductive assessments of Dodes were contrived because the father of lies, which is what Yahweh refers to him, and the plague of death, his other gnome, realized that Hamasiach's life and lyrics not only undermined his New Testament, but they also obliterated his credibility. So Paul needed Dode to be dead and buried. And soon enough, you will know what I have learned, that Paul absolutely did exactly what Yahweh said here, has irked his anger, kindled his animosity. By contrast, Yahweh and Dode share the following in common. Therefore, my steadfast commitment to the truth and my unwavering love, determined devotion, and enduring favoritism, my ongoing affection and genuine favoritism are with him. In my name, his light will radiate and enlighten, and his brilliant horn will be lifted up on high and exalted. Another powerful statement, as I've said so many times. The 89th Mizmor is a song of all crescendos, of all claps of the cymbals and banging of the drums. There is nothing but excitement and enlightenment and empowerment and enrichment in every phrase. This, again, is similar to what Yahweh told Miriam and Aaron, the embittered and contentious one, and the adversarial alternative. When they tried to challenge Moshe, he said very similar, that, no, my steadfast commitment to the truth is with him. He is trustworthy and reliable, and he is the one who demonstrates that I'm trustworthy and reliable. We are a team. We have collaborated together in this way. And therefore, my unwavering support, my love, my devotion, my enduring favoritism, and ongoing affection are genuinely with him. And God would say that, well, more regarding his son, Dode, than anyone else, but this line also pertains to everyone that Yahweh has worked through to accomplish something meaningful. Now, you know, Abraham wasn't the highest quality individual ever lived. He certainly wasn't the brightest, and he wasn't the most moral, but Yahweh loved him. Sarah was spectacular. Yahweh loved her. Noah, Yahweh favored him. Same thing is true with Jacob and Yishak before him. Yahweh favors certain people, no one more than Dode. But of those people that he chooses to be devoted to, you can assure that Yahweh, be assured that Yahweh's love, his affection, his generosity are eternal. Yahweh does not change horses in the middle of the race. He chooses based upon what he knows will work, and then he empowers these individuals such that they are successful. And Dode was simply the very best among us. And in my name, Yahweh, something that is unheard of, unheralded currently in Israel, which is going to change and going to change in a mighty way. And it's one of the reasons I spend so much time on X, on the Craig Wynn channel on X, account on X at Yada Craig, on the Craig Wynn Facebook page, and also on the Craig Wynn is Yahweh's Herald channel on YouTube. I spend this time on those pages because Yahweh's name must come to light. It must be radiated to enlighten. And in Dode's case, there is a double meaning here, because the keren, this horn, is not only symbolic of Dode's position as king, because the horn was considered a sign of a power and authority. But it's beyond that. The horn, the keren, in this particular word, means to radiate and shine light. And Dode is the most brilliant orator on behalf of Yahweh. But it's also indicative of Dode, because when Yahweh told us the story of how he told Abraham that he would spare Yishak's life, Abraham's only and beloved son, it was because Yahweh was going to offer his only and beloved son to fulfill Pesach. And in that case, when he presented the lamb of Pesach, it was caught in its keren horns. That is why these things are being brought together. That is the message that Yahweh is associating with us. And Yahweh is an interesting partner. He partners a funny term to ascribe to God, but that's the way that he likes to be referred to. He prefers co-workers and collaborators. And in this particular case, in fact, in every case, when Yahweh chooses someone through whom he is going to collaborate, rather than Yahweh saying, "Aren't I great? Look at all the great things I have done with this person. Wow, they have extolled my wonderful nature." Exactly the opposite. Yahweh knows who he is. He's happy with who he is. He doesn't need anybody to tell him he's great. He knows it already. He is not insecure. He is certain hell's not a Donald Trump. Instead, what Yahweh does is he exalts those who are devoted and steadfast in their contribution to working and collaborating with him. So in this case, Dode is lifted up. He's raised on high. He's exalted. This is the creator of the universe saying, "This man is exalted. I want you to appreciate that I have lifted him on high. He is my son, and I'm proud of him." Now, Dode, David, like Yahweh in this way, they're very similar. Both share an unwavering commitment to the truth. They are both loving. Yeah, Dode is among the most loving of men. By looking at one, we see the other. Seen together, they encapsulate the Torah and emulate the covenant. Their relationship has made it possible for us to understand and therefore experience Yahweh's enduring love and mercy. When Yahweh said this about Dode and about his feelings toward Dode, he destroyed the basis of the Christian religion. Since God is unwavering in his commitment to the truth, he could not have inspired the contradictory message found in the Christian New Testament, especially since it annuls much of what he claimed would be consistently reliable. And since the God of the Torah is genuinely loving and merciful, the gospel of grace is without merit. If it conveys the same message as found in the Torah, which it doesn't, it becomes superfluous. If its message differs, and it does, for it to be true, the statement God just made must be false. And mercy, in this particular case, this enduring commitment to the truth, have been ascribed to Dode. One leads to the other, completely negating the concept of salvation through faith. Now, all good things occur in Yahweh's name, from love to enlightenment, from mercy to being converted ultimately into light. We can receive exactly the same that Yahweh offered Dode when we capitalize on what he did when he fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, signing our adoption papers into the covenant. So it's also interesting that Yahweh told Abraham that he would provide the lamb. And so when Abraham looked and saw the lamb's Karin horns radiate and illuminated on the summit of Moriah, what we see is Yahweh offering us a harbinger of that which will come. He is symbolically portraying what he would accomplish with Dod 40 Yobel or 2,000 years later on Mount Moriah. After all, Dod is not only the exemplar of the covenant as the Zeroah, as the most important of the three Zeroahs, he is the sacrificial lamb who scribed his experience during Chag Matzah in first person, explaining his fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, all in excruciating detail as the only eyewitness who is recorded explaining what the Romans would do to him and what he would experience in Sheol on Matzah, as well as his journey back to the light and to his father on Bikurim. One after the next, every word of each declaration in the 89th Mizmor is a treasure trove of relevant insights. The same is true of these, every word in the next three statements. They are awesome individually and exceptional collectively. Dod's status with God is both, well, exceptional and secure, special and unique. He himself will call out to me, and he will welcome me by announcing, "This is Hugh Kara Ani." He will genuinely invite me into his life, actually reading and reciting to me, continually proclaiming unto me, "You are my father." Think about how revolutionary that thought was for 3,000 years ago. And think for a moment, not only did Dod recognize that Yahweh was his father, and therefore he was the Son of God, and that he acknowledged it regularly because, well, he was told exactly this in 2 Samuel 7, what God declared to him. But there's something else that I don't think I've ever shared before. You might think that this Mizmor was God speaking to his son about the importance of his lives and his lyrics, but that's not the case at all. Do you know why? Do you know when this Mizmor was written? The answer is 968 BCE. Dod's first life ended 4 years earlier. Excuse me. 4 years earlier. Dod isn't singing this song to his son. He's singing it about his son. He's not singing it for the benefit of Dod, but for our benefit. And since we are the first to understand the power of these words, to understand the implications of what God said in this magnificent oratory, these lyrics that God himself inspired and wrote, he's singing these lyrics for us right now, today, which means for you. That is why very early on in these video blogs on the Yahweh blog, we jumped right into the 89th Mizmor, because there is nothing more important for me to share with you. Because this is what Yahweh wants you to know about him and about his beloved son. So he himself will call out to me and welcome me, announcing. Now, there is another just profound insight here that maybe until this moment, no one had paid any attention to. Hugh Kara Ani, what does that mean to you? Have you thought it through? Do you know what kara, which is the verb here, means? Do you know that kara is the actionable root of mikra? You know what the mikra are? Plural mikrae. Pesach, matzah, and bakurim. Shabuah, teruah, kippurim, and sukkah. Dode fulfilled the first three. I will fulfill the next two. Dode is the centerpiece of the last two. That is why Yahweh chose to use kara here. When it's used in the title of Yahweh's seven annual meetings, they mean invitations to be called out and meet, to read and recite, to be welcomed into God's company. Powerful verb in this particular place, isn't it? So Dode is announcing, you are my father. When did Dode announce, you are my father? What specific event is Yahweh discussing here? Do you know? I'll give you a minute. Think it through. I shared with you just a moment ago. Dode fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bakurim. Pesach is Passover. It opens the door to God's home. Matzah is unyeasted bread. It removes the fungus of religion and politics from our souls because Dode carried our guilt with him into Sheol and deposited there. They're not the answer, are they? What is the third mikra? Bakurim. What does Bakurim mean? Firstborn children. Who was Yahweh's firstborn? Dode. When does Dode, therefore, as part of the mikra, kara, make the declaration, you are my father? Is it not the crescendo of Chag Matzah? The very act of firstborn children? When Dode completed the fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bakurim. So many profound insights. Prophecies, really. And every one of these words, which is why the 89th Mizmor is the single most important piece of literature in all human existence. In this case, I should say, even in God's existence, since God himself wrote it. Now note, El Ani Wa Sur, Yeshua Ani, my God, and rock of my salvation, which you'll read in the Masoretic text, is omitted from 4QPS, but included in the Masoretic text. So I chose to omit it. I also will appoint and make him Bokor Ani. Do you know what Bokor Ani means? I've just shared with you what the answer was previously when Dode says, you are my father. It was Bakurim, right? Well, do you think there's a connection between Bakur and Bakurim, which is the plural of Bakur? I also will appoint and I will make him. This is actually the Hebrew verb Nathan, which means I'm offering him as a gift. I'm presenting and bestowing him to you as the most valuable of presents. As Bokor Ani, my firstborn, my son. I'm pausing. Because what God has just said is so very deeply touching, so incredibly powerful, so defining of the very Bereth covenant relationship he wishes to establish with you and with me. And that's so obvious that the Bakur, the firstborn of Yahweh, the son of God, is Dode, the only person named in this psalm. And recognize that destroys the most invasive religion among God's people, Judaism, the most popular religion in the world, Christianity. What comes next is hard for me to read without, well, explaining it to you in the before I even share it. After calling Dode my firstborn son in God's voice, he refers to him as Elyon, as the highest and uppermost God. Elyon is used to describe God. You know, they have this myth in replacement foolology that the misnomer Jesus Christ was God. Well, he wasn't even a good crude counterfeit. Well, I guess he was a good crude counterfeit. He wasn't a good counterfeit, which made him a crude counterfeit. And they lie that this, that their man God was God. Well, God just said, David, Dode is God. Now, why would the Almighty equate his firstborn son to the status of Elyon, God? God is saying he is one. Hear, O Yisrael, Yahweh is God, Yahweh is one. And Yahweh just said, Dode, my firstborn, is Elyon. He represents the highest and uppermost as God. Do you understand Dode's purpose? Do you understand what Dode accomplished, what Yahweh achieved through him? On Pesach Passover, he opened the doorway to life, the door to God's home, as the Zeruah, the sacrificial lamb. On Matzah, he perfected us by taking our guilt with him and depositing it in Sheol, never to be seen again, so that on Bukkurim, we could become sons and daughters of Almighty God. Now, if you are related to God, if God is your father, as we are born into this covenant and transformed into light, empowered and enriched on Bukkurim, according to the Torah's testimony, what does that make us like? If we are God's children, what are we? We're also the Son of God, aren't we? And if you are the Son of God, you are God. Yahweh's concept of establishing the covenant is to make us like him. He wants to elevate us from being three-dimensional constructs stuck in the ordinary flow of time to seven dimensions, which is an infinitive increase four times over. And he's announcing that the first to enjoy this status, the most elevated of all men, Dode, was Elyon, very much like God, divine and nature, literally describing God himself, meaning Almighty God, from Allah to ascend. It's, by the way, not written as the Islamic nincompoop. It's the verb Allah. And in comparison to kings and rulers of the earth, no one will be greater than Dode. Well, if no one can be greater than Dode, there isn't a rabbi that can stand above him. There isn't any author of any book of the New Testament that can stand above him. Moshe can't stand above him. Abraham can't stand above him. I most certainly can't stand above him. Wouldn't even try. I work for him. Happy to do so. He's my king. He is God's chosen one. But it sure as heck can't be a Jesus Christ if Dode is the highest and uppermost of all of the rulers in the history of the earth. For all eternity, God says, I will keep watch over him, paying very close attention to him. which means he is not in a grave rotting away, as Peter and Paul have claimed. My unwavering love, my unrelenting devotion, enduring affection, and genuine favoritism, Chesiane, my commitment to a loving relationship and generosity, as well as my compassion, in addition to my family-oriented covenant, Wabareth Ani, my binding oath and pledge to build a home and raise a family from Bayeth, family and home in Bana, to build a place to raise children, are truthfully presented and reliably established, verifiable and enduring through him. You want to understand the covenant? You want to be part of the covenant? You want to know what it means to be a child of God, to inherit all that he has to give, to live forever in his company, in his home? Don't just look to Dode. Don't just recognize that Dode is God's firstborn. Don't just recognize that God anointed him as the Messiah and chose him to be our king and our shepherd. Recognize that through Dode, Yahweh collaborated to make us immortal on Pesach, to perfect us on Matzah, and to adopt us into his family on Bukurim, so that he could enrich and empower us. This is what needs to be understood about Dode. In this way, he enabled the covenant, because those are the five benefits of the covenant. He didn't just enable it. He exemplifies it. He tells you exactly what it's like to be God's kid, which is why Yahweh is praising him. This is why Yahweh is exalting him. It's why he's lifting him up. It's why he's calling him not only his son, but as if he were a god. Because from Yahweh's perspective, that's the entire intent. Yahweh doesn't want to keep us as little puny physical beings stuck in three dimensions. He wants us to be as at his side, fully enabled and capable as a seven-dimensional construct, just as is he. That's extraordinary. It's a lot to pass up to be religious. That was Psalm Mizmor 89:28. Now, second only to the introductory proclamations Yahweh made at the inception of Dode's song, the last three pronouncements are as important as anything you will ever find in the Torah and prophets. They are the result of every promise in the Torah and prophets. He himself will call out to me and welcome me, announcing, "You are my father," and I also will bestow upon him as a gift, appointing and making him, Bakor Ani, my firstborn, my son, as Elon, Almighty God, the highest and uppermost in comparison to anyone who has ruled on the earth. For all eternity, I will keep watch over him, paying close attention to him, focusing on him. My unwavering love, unrelenting devotion, enduring affection, and genuine favoritism, in addition to the very essence of my family-oriented covenant relationship, are truthfully presented and reliably established, verifiable and enduring through him. Dode is announcing and Yahweh is affirming that they are father and son, just as there is no one else that Yahweh personally anointed. Dode stands alone as the son of God. Well, he does at the inception. He is the firstborn son of God. Bukurim speaks of children, plural. Because of what father and son did, there will be many children of Yahweh. Further, Yahweh is offering his son to us as a gift. This is insightful because it helps us appreciate the identity of the child who was born and the son who was given. in Yeshaya 9:6. When Dod refers to Yahweh as his father, and Yahweh responds by acknowledging that he perceives Dod to be his son, they are describing the nature of their relationship and the way they interacted with one another. Never in the history of religion has there been a father and son where the father was a god and the son was at least initially a mortal man. Dod is anything but a mortal man now. They are not describing a biological connection, but instead something far more profound. In a father-son relationship, the parent carries out most of the responsibility and does the preponderance of the work, and that would be true between Yahweh and Dod. Fathers mentor sons, set an example for them to follow, and teach and guide them. Boy, would that ever be true for Dod. Parents provide nourishment and shelter, apparel and protection for their children. The child also bears some responsibility, however. They must learn and accept the house rules and contribute to the family in some way, once they're able. It's even better when sons respect their father and are appreciative, and it's best when they are able to advance the family business. In this regard, Dod was the perfect son. But let's not get carried away. Dod's father was worthless. He said and did some really awful things. He had no value whatsoever. Good name, though, to stand up and be noticed. But that's only to tell us that Dod came from the place where he would stand up and be noticed. Dod's mother is never mentioned. We don't even know who she is. So the father and mother of Dod, this perfect relationship that father and son created together, is between Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, and his Bakor. And I can relate to this because I had a really crappy father and not a very supportive mother either. So it was a huge upgrade to enter this relationship with Yahweh, where he sent the Ruach Kodesh, our spiritual mother, to embolden, equip, prepare, enlighten, and enable me. Just as she came on Dod to enable, embolden, and enlighten him. Now, this is one of the reasons why Yahweh earned the right to be called, Dod earned the right to be called Yahweh's Bakor, firstborn. With this distinction, he earned the right to wear his father's crown and to share his throne. He would also inherit the birthright as a royal firstborn child. With the Mikre existing to advance the rewards of the covenant, by fulfilling Pesach and Matzah, Dod became the best-suited individual to exemplify the benefits of a Kodom firstborn children. The most electrifying term, however, in the midst, as I've shared with you, is Elyon. When it is used throughout the Torah, it is addressing Almighty God, El. And the Y is a reference to Ani, means my God. And Yom means all things pertaining to. So, all things pertaining to my God. At the very least, Dod is to be seen as over and above other men, the most distinguished of all. And if we are to trust the Torah's definition, as well, which is well advised, then Yahweh is presenting his son as God. You see, to create Christianity, they counterfeited and misappropriated everything that Yahweh said about his son. Well, this would normally be shocking. It actually isn't. By design, sons are supposed to grow up and become like their fathers. And when it comes to his family, the benefits of the covenant, all of which Dod helped provide by fulfilling the Mikre, are specifically designed to make us more like God, enriching and empowering and enlightening us. Moreover, as we transition from the material to the spiritual realm, when we grow exponentially in dimensions, going from 3 to 7, which is an increase 4 times over, we become so much more like God than like physical humans. It's appropriate for Yahweh to use the term. Lastly, as we approach the conclusion of this magnificent Mizmor, Yahweh will tell us that Dod will become as brilliant as the sun in his presence. So based upon all of this, we would be well served to read Elyon as Almighty God, my Almighty God, and everything that pertains to Almighty God. And so as not to risk shortchanging God's Son, then he is Elyon, the highest and uppermost. So please, let's silence the foolish religious rhetoric praising the likes of Jesus, Paul, Akiba, Muhammad, or Maimonides. Dod's status is never going to change. We have God's word on it. He will continue to focus on his Son throughout eternity. No one's status will ever be above Dod's. So Yahweh's concluding statement speaks volumes. He is declaring for all of us to read and to hear that his love, affection, and mercy are best demonstrated and understood when we consider his relationship with Dod. Further, the covenant is most accurately presented. It is affirmed and verified when we examine Dod's participation via his lives and his lyrics. It all begins, however, with Kara. Father and Son have invited us into the covenant. We have been summoned to attend these called out meetings such that we can be welcomed in heaven. By reading and reciting the word of God, we find Father and Son summoning us to their side. When we capitalize on what they have done through the Mikra to deliver the benefits of the covenant, we grow exponentially. Dod has shown us the way. Follow him. Yahweh has made it very clear that he will remain attuned to Dod even throughout eternity because he loves him as a father loves a son. God said, Cheset ani wa bareth ani aman lahu. My unwavering love, unrelenting devotion, and enduring mercy are truthfully presented and will reliably endure with him as part of my covenant family. Even when they act up, parents never tire of their children. And when a child grows up to devote themselves to the betterment of the family, when they go about the father's business, every moment is a cause for celebration. This is not only why we have children, it's why we exist. It's why God created the universe and conceived life. Now, according to God, Dod is the most important and interesting person in the world. We devalue him and Yah's relationship with him at our peril. By contrast, if we do as Yahweh does and Shamar, closely examine and carefully consider his every word and deed, we too will endure forever and be considered by our Heavenly Father as sons of God. This is a great place for us to pause and recognize it's time for us to say goodnight here to the 8th part of the song. We'll return tomorrow, and I will share with you the 9th edition of the greatest song ever sung, Dod's Song, an ode written by our Heavenly Father to his beloved Son. I am Craig Wynn, and this has been an edition of the Yahweh Blog. Good night.